Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. So you are in the multifamily industry. Are you having an easy time finding and retaining talent to join your organization, or is it difficult? Some say that the multifamily industry across the nation is experiencing a talent crisis. With this in mind, today, our topic is sourcing and retaining high potential talent. Joining me from Atlanta is Dr. Debbie Phillips, president of the Quadrillion and adjunct professor at Georgia Tech. And with me in the studio are Michelle Pollack, current president of the Houston Apartment Association and senior director of real estate with Graystar, and Kathy Maxey, Senior Regional Manager of Kyra Property Management. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today. I feel like we've got a very, very strong panel because of the talent that you guys are. You would be considered that high potential talent that we're talking about today. And Debbie, I wanted to start with you. What does sourcing and retaining high potential talent mean?
Well, thank you, Paul, and it's great to be on your show today. And I think when we talk about talent, we've all seen what has happened in our industry when we attempt to go out and steal from the competition. And many times, I think Michelle and Kathy would agree, many times we have to detrain them. And I talk about growing talent organically through internship programs, but we've got to source talent, and that's probably what is on our minds today, is how do we identify and find those talent pipelines? And I'll speak to some success stories that we've had in some programs that I'm involved with, and then we'll get Kathy and Michelle's opinion about this. But in Georgia, I've worked with the Georgia Apartment Industry Education Foundation, and we really had five pillars of sourcing talent, all the way from high schools to career academies to technical schools to universities and workforce organizations. So identifying high potential talent is on the minds of every multifamily operator. If you look at the NMHC study that shows demand for 4.6 million apartments by 2030, if you use our old ratio of two people per 100 units, you're talking almost 100,000 new people entering the multifamily industry. Wow. Where are we going to get that talent? And it's one thing to go steal from the competition, but I believe that that's why we're on the show today, is to explore best practices around identifying our own talent sources, tapping into those sources and growing them up. And that's my passion, is investing in the new generation of leaders that are coming behind us. So we can talk about where we're sourcing talent, but certainly Michelle and Kathy can speak to the need in their own organizations.
Absolutely. So we use, Paul, thank you for having me on the show today. We use employee referrals. Mm-hmm. As one of our number one sourcing for sourcing candidates. We do have top talent within Caria, and reaching out to our current employees, we can find some really great talent through that source. We also use Indeed.com and ZipRecruiter and Monster. So we're you know, as Debbie said, we see a struggle in the talent as well. And I'm sure Michelle is feeling the same thing. As we continue to build buildings, we just don't see the interest or the people that we need to make some of our businesses work successfully. So that's one of our struggles.
Right. Definitely agree with that, Kathy.
And I guess, Debbie, are you finding, since you have your educational background working with universities, what are you finding as far as our universities and colleges around the country trying to get programs together that can feed the industry, the multifamily industry?
Absolutely, absolutely. And particularly, Michelle knows this, and Kathy does too, the Institute of Real Estate Management and the National Apartment Association's Education Institute is very immersed in residential property management programs. Obviously, Virginia Tech being the oldest program with Dr. Rosemary Goss, who has just retired and leaving it to Dustin Reed and his colleagues. When we first started, obviously, Virginia Tech was the first formal program, and then the University of Georgia, which I got to start that program, and then Georgia Tech has a program in the School of Building Construction. But today, there's more than 40 residential property management programs that offer actual degrees, being Ball State and other programs. But the great thing about this, Paul, is I teach a class called Career Development, and I think the greatest problem that educators have to solve is how do you change the perception of what is apartment management? And I was pleased to be involved, and I think you know about it, National Multi Housing Council, Cornet Global, BOMA, and AGC came together, and they were the brainchild of a project called CareersBuildingCommunities.org, where over 30 trade associations got together and said, we need to change the perception of jobs in real estate and career opportunities. And if you look at a statistic, in the first quarter of 2018, there were over 12,000 job postings. Well, when you see a job posting, you don't automatically think, well, that job could be for me. And so I spend the majority of my time in the classroom bringing in great industry speakers to say, this is my career path. This is how I got to where I am. And we see the need, the shortage for skilled trades. I mean, that's another reason for this collaborative project that I've been involved in, is that there's over 500,000 positions open in construction-related trades right now. And so it's just changing the perception, and it's getting people excited and lighting the fire in their belly to explore that. And that can come through internships. That can come through job shadowing. That can come through professionals like Michelle and Kathy and everybody else that we know going into the classroom and getting the students fired up.
Right.
Debbie, I'd like to add, I couldn't agree with you more on the fact of the perception. When you've got other industries, you know, example, retail or, you know, a customer service, you know, call center type of industry that you've been in, the candidates, when they're looking for their next job, they don't think about how those skills cross over to the apartment industry. And their skill set, specifically when you're talking about office, fits in perfectly. And we actually intentionally recruit in those fields looking for people who have the sales experience, understand, you know, branding your product, you know, the customer service, the follow-up. Some of these things are basic that cross over, and people just don't think about the apartment industry. And so I feel like our industry just really isn't being recognized as a career. And we've got, you know, a few programs that are popping up through these colleges. But ultimately, our industry needs to do something to make us more mainstream. Because, you know, when people are in high school, they're thinking, you know, I might go into nursing. I'm going to be an engineer. I can do medical billing. But they don't think I'm going to be an apartment manager. Uh-huh. And there's such a career path from entry level to executive. And I'm going to say there's a lot of really good careers and money to be made and a lot of successes to be had if we could just, I guess, get more recognition for the opportunities that we have available.
Yeah. Absolutely. U of H has a great real estate program. And that was, I believe it was Irem that really pushed that through, through our industry icons, you know, Philip Schneido, the late Jeff Burke, George Griffin, David Hargrove. These are the icons in our industry. And they pushed that real estate program through U of H. And I can say myself, you know, starting just a few years ago in the industry, that, you know, I looked at this as a weekend gig. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at it as a career. And here I am 26 years later. I have, you know, definitely had seen the success. I've seen failures. And it's definitely a career opportunity for me. I think for us, you know, us that have had children, now I'm starting to see some of our industry icons, their children are moving into leasing positions, and then also into the accounting department. In Caria, we do hire interns through the U of H program, Harvard University. It's amazing to see how hungry they are, and how much they just want to learn, and they're really embracing the real estate industry. So we're really trying to do our best to really show that real estate is a career. And as Michelle said, you don't realize that the hospitality industry, mm-hmm. the restaurant industry, customer service, mm-hmm. Being attentive to your customers, smiling, all of those things cross over to being a good sales associate, and that's what we're looking for.
Right, and I can say, when you said the hospitality industry, I know of two people in the industry. One is a regional vice president who came from the U of H School of Hotel and Restaurant Management and mm-hmm. somehow made it into Absolutely. The apartment side. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We do have to take a break right now. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property.
Ted W. Allen & Associates is an insurance agency founded in 1967, specializing in multifamily insurance products. The professionals at Ted W. Allen & Associates can provide you with access to exclusive master policy programs. The master policy programs will eliminate coverage duplication and control overhead costs by consolidating your properties into one policy to significantly lower your premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates today for a free quote at 281-378-7500. That's Ted W. Allen & Associates.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing sourcing and retaining high-potential talent. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me from Atlanta is Dr. Debbie Phillips, president of the Quadrillion and adjunct professor with Georgia Tech. Also with me in the studio is Michelle Pollitt, the current president of the Houston Apartment Association and senior director of real estate with Graystar, and Kathy Maxey, senior regional manager of Kyria Property Management. We talked a lot in the beginning about the state of where the industry is and some of the things that are available out there, but let's talk a little bit this segment about the skills that are needed or that need to be identified when you're looking at a candidate. Debbie, you have some thoughts on that?
I do. If you look at the Society for Human Resources, SHRM, they did a study, and it's back in 2015. They identified the skills gap among applicants across many different industries. And the top six skills gaps were critical thinking, work ethic, leadership, written communications, collaboration, and problem solving. And so I think one of the things that we need to address as employers is truly identifying the key competencies that we are looking for in that candidate. So many times we say just off the tip of our tongue, well, we need somebody with experience. But at the same time, you know, that's why I love teaching my students in these universities and technical colleges, is because they're very technology savvy, and I get to show them some soft skills. I don't even like that term, soft skills. I believe it's life skills. But I think it's important that as an employer, we truly identify what we're looking for first, and then we tap in to the programs that offer that high potential talent with those skills. So it's really matchmaking, so as to speak. And I think that, you know, Kathy and Michelle can speak to that because they're hiring people on a regular basis.
You know, Debbie, this is just uncanny timeliness of me being involved in a conversation like this, because we just had a meeting internally at Graystar about the fact that we've got managers that say, you know, I can't take somebody in that doesn't have skills, that doesn't have training, I'm too busy, you know, but they'll sit with an open position for 60 days to 90 days because they're waiting for somebody with experience to come in. And so we're trying to have a paradigm shift in our office and with our managers here in Houston about taking on those people that have the potential, and that we've got to look at it like that, that, you know, it's about the interpersonal skills, the skills that you mentioned, you know, the life skills that you mentioned, but, you know, do they take initiative? You can tell by, you know, speaking to them and interviewing them well. Are they dependable? Do they have good communication skills? Are they a positive attitude person, you know, that would be a team player? To me, those are the things that you take, and they're just waiting to be molded into whatever you want to train them to be. So I feel like this is definitely one of, on the side of the industry, like how we manage, this is one of the pitfalls that we fall into, because all these years we've been able to trade talent, as you mentioned earlier, and we're just not in that position any longer with the growth of the explosive growth of the apartment industry. I know that the Houston Apartment Association has been offering a leasing 101 class for years, probably 20 years. And that's an opportunity for people to basically take a day and a half class to understand about, you know, how to get up and greet, you know, the overview of the lease and the legalities of what a lease means, you know, what does it mean to close a sale, those kinds of things, so that they can at least see if they feel like they would be a fit for a leasing position to enter the apartment business. And then when they call the potential employers, they at least can say, hey, I've had 101, I'm very interested, I know I can do it, you know, and they can try to get the attention of that employer who may have had the previous mindset of, no, I have to have someone with the experience.
Absolutely, Michelle and Debbie. I mean, when I like to sit down on the interviews when mm-hmm. a manager's interviewing for a leasing candidate, and it seems like we're focused on that leasing because that's really where it's starting. It's starting on that foot in the door, and for years it was hard to get in the door. Unless you knew someone,
yes. You
were not getting in the door. So, you know, and that was my experience, you know, many years ago. I knew someone, my sister, and she, you know, like I said, a weekend gig. And I will say, you know, I like to sit on those interviews. I want to hear what they have to say. I want to look at the resume. Is the resume organized? And, you know, is technology, is it so bad? Is it so bad that they can whip through their phones and do the snippets of their tricks and then all those are skills that we're looking for. Because right now our industry has moved to technology. We're not handwriting guest cards anymore. We're not handwriting rent rolls anymore. We're not doing that. So I'm looking for someone that, yes, the resume is organized. Did they have good grammar? Mm-hmm. Did they spell check? And are they excited to be in the interview? And how do they present themselves in the interview? That's a big deal. And I tend to tell them, you know, this is the way you look today. This is the way I like to see you on your first day. And you know, yes, do I understand that there's a perception out there that, you know, the schedule, you know, that seems to be the tip word, right? You know, what's going to be my schedule? How often do I have to work? Do I have to work every weekend? Do I have to work on Sundays? Those were just things that we expected, that our business is a 7 day a week job. And unfortunately, you know, when our tenants are coming home, we're going home. So, yes, we have seen that we're extending the office hours and we're doing more flex schedules with our employees. But I'd like to see the talent. I want to see, are you excited to be here? Do you want to be here? And what are your goals? What are you looking? And then have you researched our company just a little bit? Do you know just a little bit about us to know, are you going to be a good fit? And those are some things that I look for. And we use Indeed, ZipRecruiter, Monster, that's where we're trying to source our candidates from. And then, like I said, employee referrals.
Yeah. I can tell you that, you know, one story, I guess, that's personal to me is a friend of my daughter's who, you know, I always thought of her as just being a teenager. And I was at an HAA expo a few years ago, and this person walks back and forth in front of me about four mm-hmm. times and then kind of timidly comes up to ask me if I was who I was. And and I said, yeah, who are you? And it was my daughter's friend. And she had completely transformed her look as far as she looked professional. She wasn't a teenager like I remembered her. And she actually had I said, what are you doing at the HAA Expo? She goes, well, I'm a leasing agent with Graystar.
Yay!
They gave her a chance.
And so I kind of followed her career. She became an assistant manager, you know, followed that track. Mm-hmm. And then decided she was moving to San Francisco. And Graystar found her position in San Francisco. And as assistant manager, she got married. She was having her first child and was on maternity leave. And when I called her to congratulate her first child, I said, are you out of the business now? She said, no. As a matter of fact, I have my first management property that is waiting for me when I'm off of maternity leave. So obviously, when you identify that talent, it's something right. that you've got to continue to help them move forward. Is that what you're finding, Debbie?
I am, and I wanted to speak to that because, you know, I do a lot of programs on talent development, and I encourage everybody, you know, we understand that adage that past performance is a predictor of future performance, and what we are looking for is a set of behaviors. That's what a competency is. It's a set of behaviors around something that you can measure. And going back to an example where one of my colleagues needed a marketing person, somebody in social media, I instantly turned to what we call CTSOs, Career Technical Student Organizations. And just for the audience, you don't say that, oh, it's a student club anymore. It's a student organization because it's really comprised of co-curricular learning outcomes. And this particular young lady had been president of a student organization, DECA, which I know the National Apartment Association is very involved in, and so is IREM. But I reached out to a student leader in the DECA program, and she was able to bring a digital portfolio, and she was able to talk about how she grew her membership and how she, you know, retained the membership and how she got the treasurer to step up and be the vice chair of DECA or vice president. And so what I noticed there was that was a set of behaviors in an individual. A, she was goal-oriented. She could speak in front of a small group. She wasn't afraid to go out there and look for business and that business development. But you have to have a heart to want to help mm-hmm. others and bring them into this industry. You know, there's not any one of us on this call today that got to where we are today by ourselves. We had help. We had people that championed us, that were advocates for us, that saw a spark in us that maybe we didn't see in ourselves. And so, you know, while we are first to, you know, go to our defaults, because when you're in a crisis situation, you always fall back to your default, whether it be, you know, a recruiter or posting a job. But I just want to encourage everyone in the audience today listening that we need to go into untapped sources and we need to look for a set of behaviors and that we need on our properties and our companies. One of my favorite stories was Josh Whitfield, and he was a student back in 2005 or 2006 at the University of Georgia. And I said, Josh, what do you want to do? And he says, well, you know, I've been making signs. And I said, really? I said, you know, we use a lot of signs in the apartment business. And he said, you do. Well, a long story is Josh now has his own sign company. And within his first 2 or 3 years, he was making well over $150,000. And I have stories like that all over the place. And we talk about it. I think Michelle mentioned, I mean, we offer the best portable career. And I think as an industry, we do a phenomenal job training and coaching them and developing them once they're in the industry. But I think we really need to take a hard look at what behaviors, what skills are we looking for that we really want to go after in the marketplace.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about that and more in our final two segments. Before we take a break, I just want to remind everyone that if you would like to provide a show topic or guest ideas or suggestions or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. We will be back after a short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Ted W. Allen & Associates is an insurance agency founded in 1967, specializing in multifamily insurance products. The professionals at Ted W. Allen & Associates can provide you with access to exclusive master policy programs. The master policy programs will eliminate coverage duplication and control overhead costs by consolidating your properties into one policy to significantly lower your premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates today for a free quote at 281-378-7500. That's Ted W. Allen and Associates.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing sourcing and retaining high-potential talent. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me from Atlanta is Dr. Debbie Phillips, president of the Quadrillion, and an adjunct professor with Georgia Tech. And with me in the studio are Michelle Pollack, current president of the Houston Apartment Association and senior director of real estate with Graystar, and Kathy Maxey, senior regional manager of Cairo Property Management. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, ladies, we were talking in the break that we really want to cover coaching and mentoring employees as they come on board. Did you want to start out, Kathy?
Absolutely. It's so key to remember that that first engagement with that future, that potential employee is at that interview process, and you're starting the coaching there. You're starting the mentoring and training there. They want to emulate you. It's so key to me that when an employee starts, that their first day is a positive experience, and that they come in, that everyone embraces them, and that we want them. We want them part of our industry. We want them part of our team, and we want to coach them, ask them what their goals are, ask them what would they like to get out of this career. That's so important. And Debbie mentioned earlier that, you know, all of us started this career without experience. And, you know, someone took a chance on me. Someone, you know, walked up to me and said, you know, in Iram, what are your goals? Well, I want to be president one day. So that's how I became president. Mm-hmm. You know, I emulated the leaders, and they coached me and guided me and mentored me and gave me, criticism, you know, positive criticism. They gave me the opportunity to grow. And I learned very early on that your employees, they want to be satisfied, and they want to be happy. And people, when they come to work, they want to be glad that they came to work that day. You know, a lot of our employees, they spend a lot more time with us than they do their families. And so part of that process is giving them that positive experience. And you know, we're going to stumble along the way. We're not always going to make the best decision, but if we can coach the employees and just give them opportunities to see what the future looks like, a real estate career is very rewarding, and we spend a lot of time, you know, we're in the multifamily side. These are people's homes, and when you can make a difference in someone's home, and like Debbie mentioned earlier, it's in the heart, and that's what I look for when I'm looking for talent and hiring associates to join our team.
That's right. And Debbie, I know that you have a passion for that.
I do, and I want to speak to this whole notion of coaching. You know, I use a term feed forward versus feedback. When you are coaching someone and somebody says, oh, I want to give you some feedback, you're automatically put on guard. You're like, what the heck? You know, like, where did this come from sometime? And so I think that we need to remember that if we take that employee aside and say, hey, you know, maybe we didn't do such a great job here, but on our next opportunity, let's do this. This is feed forward. And so I try to encourage the people that I work with is to think about, you know, what is that teachable moment? But at the same time, you know, I think I heard Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, she said, you know, her dad always asked her, Sarah, what'd you fail at today? And I think sometimes if you're an overachiever, a type A personality, I think we're all about putting points on the board, do it, do it, do it. But I think that we need to embrace failure because failure is just your first attempt in learning. You know, I'm a teacher, so I use a lot of acronyms. Mm-hmm. But when we fail, that is our first attempt in learning that we found out a way not to do it. And I think that so many times we need to, because millennials, my students, they all think they need an A without even taking the first test. And so I have to break down that whole notion of, you know, you earn an A and these are the things you have to do, but you have to learn along the way. And I think it's important that somewhere in our culture that we just support failure and learning in a different light.
Well, and when you're talking about the acronym for FAIL, I remember my grandfather used to tell different people, I would hear him say, just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. So I think that's something that I've kind of taken to heart, too. I know that that's the part of the learning experience. Michelle,
absolutely.
What have you found as far as the coaching and the mentoring?
Well, that's a personal passion of mine. When I started in the apartment industry, I immediately became involved with the Apartment Association and was just, you know, attracted specifically to the education side. So I'm a teacher at heart, a mentor at heart. I agree completely with Kathy and Debbie that, you know, had I not had people invest in me, afford me opportunities for not only on-the-job training, because, you know, nobody starts knowing what they're doing, but mm-hmm. also the formal training. I had formal education through the Institute of Real Estate Management and, of course, through the National Apartment Association that were all sponsored and encouraged by my employers. So I am a huge advocate and often find ways internally at Graystar to pay it forward. Creating different mentoring programs. You know, when we talk about, you know, the talent, you know, and retaining them, and I know that we'll get into that later, but the mentoring programs, the peer coach programs, you know, some, you know, kind of in the mindset of the leasing 101, maybe doing that type of stuff internally, anything you can do to invest in people, because if we invest in them, it will return to us tenfold. Right. I'm a huge believer in that.
Absolutely. And I think I'm a teacher. I always tell my kids if I hadn't been afforded the opportunity in real estate management, I would have been a teacher. You know, it gives me great joy when I see a brand new baby come into the industry and they succeed. Just as Paul, as you said, you saw, you know, a distant family member, your daughter's son, you know, come in and you see them and their eyes are sparkly and they just they've just transformed from, you know, that 13-year-old kid to an 18-year-old. And oh my goodness, they look so professional. And then they're hungry. They're hungry. They want all the knowledge and education. And it's our job to mentor them just as we were mentored. And as Michelle and Debbie said, someone took a chance on us. Mm-hmm. Someone invested in us. And it just gives me such great joy to see to see my associates grow and be promoted and move on and take chances. And like you said, you know, make a mistake. It's mm-hmm. okay, because we're all going to learn from it. And maybe the mistake you made is a better way to do it.
Right. And Debbie, we've got about a minute and a half left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you your feelings. It seems to me like sometimes when we don't have a success story with a potential individual, that it's possible that some of the times it's because they didn't have the proper mentoring and coaching. Do you find that to be true?
I do. I think, you know, if you really want to make learning and development stick, I think, you know, we know that one of the most effective ways is through simulation. You have to put them in the situation and let them experience it as real life, or as close to real life as it can be. And I think that many times, you know, we beat ourselves up when we see somebody fail at their job, but that goes back to job fit, and I know we want to get into that in our final segment mm-hmm. is employee engagement, but we talked a lot about that at the recent NAA conference about job sculpting. Mm-hmm. When you can really understand a person's strengths and let them do their best work, I think Roosevelt said that was the best feeling in the world, when you could do work worth doing. And, you know, meaningful work is certainly, you know, a driver of employee engagement. We could get into that. But I think we need to take a step back and look at that lesson and say, what part of that job was there a no match? You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer always mm-hmm. said there's a match and a no match, and mm-hmm. you can always know instantly if it's going to be a match or a no match, because you have that feeling through experience. But I think we need to take a hard look at, you know, why did that person fail in that role? Was it A, you know, not clear expectations, or I use a term, it wasn't in their genius zone? We must get people to use their natural strengths. They're going to be happier, they're going to have less stress, and we're going to make more money when they have the opportunity to do their best work.
Great. All right. Well, we're up against a break. We are going to take a break. We're going to be back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters right after these few commercials.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Ted W. Allen & Associates is an insurance agency founded in 1967, specializing in multifamily insurance products. The professionals at Ted W. Allen & Associates can provide you with access to exclusive master policy programs. The master policy programs will eliminate coverage duplication and control overhead costs by consolidating your properties into one policy to significantly lower your premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates today for a free quote at 281-378-7500. That's Ted W. Allen & Associates.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing today sourcing and retaining high potential talent. I'm Paul Marks, and my guests are Dr. Debbie Phillips, president of the Quadrillion and adjunct professor at Georgia Tech University. And with me in the studio is Michelle Pollack, current president of the Houston Apartment Association and senior director of real estate with Graystar, and Kathy Maxey, Senior Regional Manager of Kyra Property Management. I do want to remind our listeners one more time that if you would like to find out more about the show or listen to any of the archived episodes, you can go to the Multifamily Matters website at www.multifamilyradio.com. So we want to talk in this final segment about employee engagement. What does that actually mean, Debbie?
Well, that's probably one of my passion points. I actually got to write my PhD dissertation on employee engagement because I knew that engaged employees drive profits to the organization. And so when you look at what is employee engagement, a satisfied employee says, I like my work. And an engaged employee says, I love my company. And we need to be mindful of how our employees feel about our company. Do they refer people? You know, I looked at three independent variables. I looked at how satisfied they were working there, for sure. But did the residents, were they satisfied? Were they satisfied to a point that they would renew their lease? And if they couldn't renew their lease, did they have such a great experience that they would refer others to live there? So when you look at engagement and you look at drivers of engagement, back to what I said in the previous segment, job fit. Is this person wired to do the job that you're asking? Job fit is one of the primary drivers of engagement. Also, another driver is I have the opportunity to do my best work. Another driver is I have the opportunity to learn and to grow. And that's why, you know, I'm excited. I had a colleague the other day and she said, I switched companies. I said, why did you switch companies? She says, well, she said, the company I'm going to really supports my volunteer work in the IRM and in the NAA and in BOMA. And so I think that we need to understand that the employee is looking for a lifestyle. They're looking for an experience, just like our residents are. So we have to create that employee experience that people fall in love with the company and they let their heart speak through their work.
Okay.
This is Michelle, Debbie. And for me personally, I think, you know, retaining, you know, starts on day one. You know, engagement and retainment starts on day one. When they walk in the door, are they, you know, are we prepared for them? You know, do they have a good experience that first day, that first week that reassures them that they've made the right decision in making the change? At Graystar, we try to do things like, you know, have some, maybe some flowers for them, take them to lunch with their supervisors on their first day of work. Just this last week, one of my RPMs, my regional property managers, shared a photo with me where an assistant manager had left a notebook and a couple of pens and a welcome card to a leasing agent and told her how glad she was that she was there. And that's the kind of thing that people do from the heart. They don't do it because they're asked to or they're made to. And I think that really speaks to the culture, I think, that we work really hard to grow and maintain at the Houston office and, of course, throughout Graystar.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with you. It starts on that first day. And unfortunately, sometimes the employees, sometimes we're not ready for them. You know, the office is busy, we're not ready, but we need to make a diligent effort to make sure that we are. And I will say that I'm very lucky. The founders of Kyra, Vivek and Swapnil, have made it a point. We meet monthly, and the first half of our meeting is about personal development. They want to see that we're, you know, what are you doing personally to feel better about yourself? And, you know, we take surveys. Do you, employee engagement, are you happy with the company? What can we do as a company to change to make your experience here more pleasurable? Mm-hmm. And then that also starts, and then it drills down. Then we talk about professional development, and we are involved and encourage the employees. And I would really ask employers to do that. Encourage your employees to get involved with the local associations. They will find that they are the network opportunities and the growth that they feel in it, and it really drives their passion. When you see everyone in the room excited and happy to be there, you just naturally start smiling and you're happy and excited to be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Debbie said, you know, sometimes it's not the right fit and that's okay. You know, that's okay too. And it's okay to say that this just isn't the position for me. It doesn't necessarily mean that the on-site property, maybe that's not where they want to be, but maybe they would do better in your accounting department or in your marketing department, or, you know, maybe they like to analyze data. You know, just because they're not a fit on site doesn't mean that they're not a fit somewhere else within your organization. So I would encourage employees to ask those questions, or employers, ask those questions before you're quick to terminate or separate the employment. Ask them, what is it that you really want to do? Maybe this wasn't right for you. Maybe you just don't like to sell and be in the front office. You know, maybe you don't like that, but maybe you like something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. What is your ultimate goal and your passion? So I would encourage employers to do that before we're so quick to separate.
Right.
I wanted to say one quick thing that is an overarching driver of employee engagement, and that's the driver that says, you know, the mission or purpose of my company makes me feel my job is important. And, you know, we see in the area of affordable housing or workforce housing and student housing and senior housing that the associate that aligns most with the mission of the company has to align with their own personal core values. And
right.
I think that that is so important in behavioral interviewing is, you know, what really juices you up? What gets you, you know, going in the morning? You know, I know for me personally, it's going to tell somebody about multifamily. You know, I get fired up about it. And so, you know, I think it's important that the listeners, you know, make sure that they make a mental note. Does this candidate demonstrate that their core values aligns with the mission and vision of our company?
Right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, absolutely. And that piggybacks earlier, do a little bit of research on the company before you step into that interview, just to make sure that they do align with your core values.
And it's so much easier to do that now with the internet and everybody has a website and back in the olden days when I was out there, it was much more difficult to find those things out. You had to get a copy of their annual report if they're a public company. But I wanted to say, because we've talked a little bit about the involvement in industry organizations and the designations and the educational opportunities are there. This is the first show that we've done, the first episode, where all three of our guests are certified property managers. And I have been in my past very active in the Institute of Real Estate Management, also known as IREM, which is the one who gives that designation. And I realize it's not a very easy designation to get. You really have to want it. You have to earn it. And I've seen so many people in the multifamily industry, even though the NAA has a lot of different educational opportunities. Besides those, some of the real icons in our industry will go after that CPM designation. I wanted each of you to talk a little bit about why you did that and why that's important to you.
I can start, and this is Kathy. For me, I wanted more, and I knew that HA offered the CAPS and the CAM, and I knew that, but I also wanted to I wanted exposure to the commercial side, the office side, the industrial side. And because I know that they all play into real estate, and I really wanted to make real estate a career. And the CPM has really afforded me opportunities to do that. IREM supports over 18,000 members worldwide. And I will say the IREM designation, it feels good. And it was tough. It was really tough. It took me 3 years to get my CPM designation. Mm-hmm. And the education is bar none. And IREM has afforded me the opportunity. I've been to Washington, you know, supporting a legislator, and IREM has really afforded me that opportunity. So I would encourage our listeners, if you're looking to get into the real estate industry, look at the different avenues of education, HAA, IREM. It's out there,
And there's scholarships available,
too. There are absolutely. And, you know, I was sponsored. You know, David Hargrove sponsored me, and I had industry leaders that sponsored me through my education career, and I wouldn't give it up.
Okay. We got a few more minutes. Michelle?
I pursued the certified property manager's designation after I had already spent years on the HAA side and had achieved different certifications within the National Apartment Association, their highest being the certified apartment property supervisor. And I had heard that the IREM classes were more challenging, and I said, I can do that. And I loved it because I felt like because it is well-earned. It's not given. It's not you attend the class and you get a certification. It's a pass or fail, just mm-hmm. like a college class, right. just like a college degree. Mm-hmm. It's a pass or fail. And so for me, that carried a lot of weight as something that not everybody would have and that it was something important for me to get.
Okay. And Debbie, I know I want you to do it, but also I want you to tell a little bit about the Quadrillion and what you're doing. We've got about a minute and a half left.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, the same for me and the CPM. I mean, I'm a lifelong learner, and I encourage every listener to, you know, identify their strengths through, you know, Gallup.com or a Strength Finders assessment. But I think, you know, when you look at two resumes and you see somebody with basically the same skill set, and then you see a person, a candidate that has a designation, you see what drives them. You know, they want to stay ahead of the pack. They want to, you know, be marketable and competitive. So that's what it does for me. And I believe that how could I get up in front of my students and say, oh, you need to go to get this and you need to do that if I didn't do it myself? You have to model what you want repeated. And I formed the Quadrillion probably 22 years ago. And it was born out of me wanting to just do my best work. And I want to encourage everybody, don't be afraid to leave good to get to great. You know, I think we sit with good ideas, but I want us all to challenge ourselves. And so, you know, I've had the Quadrillion. It's a consulting firm. I do a lot of talent development. I do industry speaking. But what really, really lights my fire every day is talking about how do we build a workforce that people want to come to work and give their best work every day. And you wouldn't be around me that I didn't give you a book. And I want to encourage all of our listeners out there to go on my website, because there's great resources out there that can help them in the challenges and the opportunities that they're facing. So it's Debbie Phillips at the Quadrillion. It's not Million Trillion. It's Debbie Phillips at the Quadrillion.
Okay, that's great. Michelle, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
I'm, as you mentioned, a senior director at Graystar here in Houston. Houston manages around 145 properties, mm-hmm. and I'm responsible for about 10,000 of those units and 7 regional property managers, plus a couple of other internal projects. And oh, on the side, it's HAA.
Yeah, you're president of the HAA on the side. Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
Kathy?
Well, I'm with Kari. We have just a little under 13,000 units, and we are growing exponentially, and we are definitely looking for talent. And I would encourage our listeners to, you can apply at careers@kariamanagement.com.
That's a shameless plug.
Right.
apply. Hey, we're all looking for talent, but mm-hmm. I've definitely had a very rewarding career. It's been a pleasure to be on the show with Debbie and Michelle. These are icons in our industry, and I would encourage our listeners out there to get involved mm-hmm. and come on board. We'd love right. to have you.
All right, and I do want to mention that you are a past president of the Institute of Real Estate Management Houston chapter. So. You took it to heart, not only to get your CPM, but also to be active in the organization. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Multifamily Matters. We will be back every Friday at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 a.m. Business KTEK. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.